UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Over time, tissue heart valves or bioprosthetic valves can degenerate and eventually fail, requiring the need for replacement. TAVR technology offers a minimally invasive procedure to patients who have previously undergone open heart surgery for a bioprosthetic valve. This option may be especially beneficial for high-risk patients as it allows them to recover in less time. My guest today is Dr. Mark Sass. He's an associate professor in interventional cardiology at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sass. So explain a little bit about how, let's start with how a tissue valve can fail.
Well, over time, the bioprosthetic valves, which are usually made up of pericardium from a cow sac that are dipped in kind of a anti-calcification fluid. So they're tissues, and like they said, they're bioprosthetic tissue valves because they're tissue from an animal. So, and the problem is the heart beats 100,000 times a day, and that these can wear out over time. Usually, most bioprosthetic valves are slated to last 10 to 15 years, but there are certain characteristics that increase the failure rate. Smaller valve implants are usually ones that are in the 19 to 20 millimeter range. They just have more flow across the valve. So it's kind of like the more pressure is kind of moving across that valve, the flow, it just causes more micro damage to those leaflets and causes them, and the way the body heals that is to calcify them. They get a little bit more stiff, and then they either become stenotic or they become regurgitant, or they become both stenotic and regurgitant. So it's mainly due to it's mainly due to just the flow across the valve, especially a lot of patients who these get put in have significantly calcified annuluses, and the surgeon can't get a bigger valve in, or they'd have to do a much, much larger procedure. So instead of exposing the patient to the risk on the table of a much larger valve, they put in a smaller bioprosthetic valve, and if they do that, that increases the risk of failure. And then other risk factors for that, especially is kidney failure. People with kidney failure, they just don't excrete the toxins as much, and that causes accelerated degeneration of these bioprosthetic valves.
So do the bioprosthetic valves not last as long? Do you have a preference over a mechanical valve?
They definitely don't last as long. But the problem is mechanical valves require warfarin, and there's and warfarin has been used forever for as an anticoagulant. But the problem with warfarin, as any cardiologist or physician knows, it's very, very difficult to manage. It has a very narrow therapeutic window. So in someone who has mechanical valves, they have to be anticoagulated at a much more intense level. Aortic valves is at the level of an INR of 2 to 2.5 is usually the range. Mitral, mechanical mitral valves have to be anticoagulated at a much more intense level because they have a higher risk of thrombosis, from an INR of 2.5 to 3.5. So what you gain in longevity with with mechanical valves, you lose with increased risk of bleeding, and also patient lifestyle. A lot of people do not choose mechanical valves because they have to have their INR checked all the time. So, and they can't eat certain foods, or they have to limit the amount of foods they eat, or if they have to, if they really want to eat like green leafy vegetables that have vitamin K in them, then they have to limit their amount so that they don't go over or under the amount that they usually do and alter their INR. So a lot of time, again, it's a patient preference, and that they say, I just don't want to take warfarin. So they choose the bioprosthetic valve with the idea that it'll last possibly 10 to 15 years. And then now with transcatheter valve technology, we've kind of changed our mentality. Now, with if it does degenerate, then we can put another valve inside of it, which is relatively straightforward.
So then let's talk about that. And it's the transcatheter replacement of the failing bioprosthetic valve. Is this a tricky thing? Is it something that must be in the most expert hands?
I think so, because because it's not commonly done. I mean, for all the valves we have done, a vast minority are these valves, just because if they're going to last 10 to 15 years, most times that people who get bioprosthetic valves will probably die from something else other than their heart problem. But sometimes it does come, and again, if you're doing something not as commonly, you want to send it to the place that does them. At least if you're doing a rarer procedure, you're doing more of that rarer procedure. And again, it's not rare, but it's less common than our just standard native aortic valve disease or our mitral valve disease. We currently don't have a transcatheter mitral valve to replace mitral valves, so those have to all go to the surgeons to have them fixed. But we have done at least, I think, 10, over 10, not too many, of transcatheter mitral valve replacements within a bioprosthetic mitral valve. And that, I think, where the where it really makes a difference, because a repeat mitral valve surgery carries very, very significant mortality. But the problem is that bioprosthetic mitral valves have a much less are much less durable than the bioprosthetic valve in the aortic position. So whoever gets a mitral valve should usually choose a mechanical valve and deal with the warfarin complications, but sometimes patients have bleeding problems and cannot get a mechanical mitral valve. So that, and again, mitral disease, since the advent of antibiotics, has also been less of a problem as far as replacing the mitral valve, because we don't have as much rheumatic disease. But sometimes people with mitral valve disease have to get a mechanical mitral valve or a bioprosthetic mitral valve. So again, that's less common than aortic valve disease. So for every aortic valve problem, we see much less mitral disease. So, but both can be done percutaneously if you have a bioprosthetic valve in the mitral position or a bioprosthetic valve in the aortic position. And both can be replaced with transcatheter valves that have been meant for the aortic valve, because they're round and they fit in a round hole. So you can use them, and now both have been approved by the FDA for that indication. So the answer to it is that because there's not as many of these, sending them to a center that does a lot of them is especially for ones in the mitral position, those are incredibly tricky and very complicated. You need the expertise of people who do this all the time.
Where do you see current research going? Give us a blueprint for further research in valves that are failing or degenerating and need replacing.
Well, I think the big problem is getting the valve in and not causing it's called patient prosthesis mismatch, because you already have a surgical valve that is smaller than the patient's native valve. So they have built-in mitral stenosis or aortic stenosis, depending upon which valve is put in. So I think the research needs to go forward that there has to be maybe a valve that is a little bit that may go into the valve-in-valve scenario a little bit easier and create less stenosis. The Medtronic valve, which we use, the Evolut, is a supraannular valve. And this one can, the valve is actually above the aortic annulus, so they do have less stenosis after the procedure. So the problem is that patients who have more stenosis after the procedure have worse outcomes. But sometimes you're just handicapped by the prior valve. It's so small that there's no way to really necessarily make it bigger. But there is some new research where and some centers have done it. We have not done it here, but we are contemplating doing it where you actually, some bioprosthetic valves are able to be fractured, meaning you create a little rent in them so you can get a proportionally bigger transcatheter valve in there so their stenosis is not as much afterward. So that's an area of research. And the other area of research is creating bioprosthetic valves that have a built-in little point where they can be fractured more easily so you can get a bigger transcatheter valve in so you don't cause this stenosis that has been shown to cause worse outcomes in patients as they with the new valve in.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Sass, and let other physicians tell them what you would like them to know about recognizing the need for valve-in-valve or a valve that has failed, what you would like them to know and when to refer to a specialist.
Well, I think that the key thing is that they don't have to meet certain criteria, is that as long as the valve is failing, both it's developing stenosis and or regurgitation, they should be referred early. And that anyone with a bioprosthetic valve after 4 to 5 years should be monitored very carefully with echocardiography. What sometimes happens is we see these patients present too late because they're not active enough to feel bad, or the physicians have not recognized that this can be done. It is FDA approved. It's relatively straightforward in the aortic position, definitely more complex in the mitral position, but we can do that. And have done it successfully. So, and these things can be done successfully, and it's always done better when referred early, because if, and especially we have a valve clinic where we follow patients who are not right needing the valve right now, that they're followed closely every 6 months with echocardiography. So we can really do the procedure before the patient gets sick. And that's the biggest thing, that it's that early referral always makes a huge difference in outcomes, because if they're referred when they're so sick, sometimes their kidney function is so bad, their heart function is so diminished that we make the procedure much more risky and the patients don't derive the benefit that they could. If patients come and have this procedure done electively, it's much, much more straightforward and the patient does much better. And again, just to emphasize, is that early recognition of bioprosthetic valve failure is the key, and the only way to recognize that is with echocardiography.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sass, for being with us. And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Call. Thanks so much for listening.